And now the verse by verse, we build our spiritual house, trying to understand the word, trying to understand God. So Numbers 11, going verse by verse as we keep going through here, a little more detail in this chapter. And let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand your words, help us to be faithful to it. Thank you for the men that taught and preached while I was gone. Thank you for your safety in the road, and I just pray you'd bless our time now. Every time we open up this book, it's a time to honor thee, and it's a time to understand thee, and I pray you'd help us to be able to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Numbers 11, verse 1. This is Judaism. This is the only religion in the Bible that God has established, okay, as far as Judaism, a religion. The word religion and religious is found seven times in the Bible. Every one of them is Judaism. And Christianity is uniquely different in that it's more of on the personal level between the individual and God, where Judaism was more on the corporate level. And have you ever heard somebody say that they would believe in God or they would serve God better if God would manifest himself visibly or audibly? Okay, in verse 1 is the reason why you're fortunate he doesn't do that. Okay, and it says in verse 1, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Aren't we glad that the Lord is not doing that in the New Testament? Because I would dare say we'd all be fried sometimes or another. And so this points out the differences often between the Old Testament and New Testament. And so in the Old Testament, when they, to whom much is given, much is required. Okay, so what have we been given in our country? We have a completed revelation of the written word of God. We have the fullness of the Holy Ghost. He's within the believer every moment of every day, and we can grieve him. But the Lord is more, shall we say, shy in this day, where he's slower to manifest himself. We live by faith, not by sight. So in the Old Testament, a lot of times people will say that I would believe God, I would worship God more if he was more visible, if he wasn't silent, and if he was more fair, as what people would think. Well, he did that with Israel, and we have 3 million witnesses, the Jews, who basically show if you had God's presence every moment of every day, gave you clear direction, destroyed your enemies, he would also destroy you when you complained. So that's a big difference. Okay, so in verse 1, when we look at the Bible, and this helps us understand the dispensations of the Bible. Okay, now he does say for us in the New Testament. Okay, so this complaining here in the Old Testament, let's try the New Testament. And we are not to ignore these stories, the record in the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 10. There are seven times in the New Testament where it says, be not ignorant of. Okay, so that just means don't ignore this. Seven times, six of them by Paul, one by Peter. And in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not yet have you to be ignorant, that you should be ignorant. And then he said, and then he gives Old Testament stories. How our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea. So that's Judaism. were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. That baptism is the advantage, or the idea of that one is not to touch the water. That's when he walked through the Red Sea. And so when you read down through there in verse 7, okay, in verse 6, it says these are examples. Verse 11 says these are ensamples. Two similar words, but slightly different words. An ensample is a small sample of the same. Okay, where an example is somebody showing you what could happen. Today, if you went to Israel and if you went to Masada, which is like a national park, it's where some Jewish people established a place to live on top of this mountain ridge where the Romans couldn't get up this way, couldn't get up this way, and they had like 900 people or so up there, and the Romans were trying to get them and couldn't get to them. And finally, Rome did figure out how to get to them, and they all, when they got to the top, all those Jews committed suicide. You say it's suicide, you know, I'm sure some were, you know, like that. Well, if you're not going to kill yourself, we'll kill you. But when they got to the top, they were all dead because those Jews would rather be dead than be Roman. Now, at the foot of Masada is ashes. It's like sandy-looking ashes, piles of ashes. When you come down south of Masada and you go in there, and if you study the ashes, you can see that the ashes have an intelligent design in there, where they're laid out perpendicular. And that's where Gomorrah was located, and God destroyed that with brimstone, sulfur. So I have some of that brimstone at home where it burns blue as a cutting torch. So that is an example. But when you go by it, if you don't see the intelligence, the evidence of intelligence design where the perpendicular, you know, you don't see that, you don't recognize it. And God says that is an example to everyone who would live ungodly. Okay, that'd be Jude 6 and 7. So if they put a great big billboard out there and say, San Francisco, take note, you know, and the media would go crazy and they'd take the billboard down because that's, you know, the LGBT, XYZ, Q, WRXV, you know, that crowd would be all upset. And, you know, the address you as we and they and them. And I thought that's interesting. Maniac of Gadara, the devils inside them said, we are they. So there's where your they are. And it's people who are possessed. So in chapter 10, you have neither, or verse 7, neither, 8, neither, 9, neither, 10, neither. So those are four Old Testament stories. And in verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured, also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. So when Israel was given this audible voice by God that scared them to death, and then wrote the Ten Commandments by God, it would be interesting to see his handwriting. So three times in the Bible, God actually put things in writing, where God the Father wrote the Ten Commandments, the Holy Ghost wrote the handwriting on the wall, and then Jesus wrote in the sand at the woman caught in adultery. So, but notice that these punishments here in verse 8, fornication, 23,000 in verse 8 died in one day. 24,000 in total, but one day. 23 caskets. The only happy people that day were the morticians. I mean, can you imagine that? You know, the death on that day, the mourning on that day. So when God does manifest himself, you know, people often smart off and say, well, go out someplace saying, God, now when you talk to me, you don't talk to me, I'm going to be mad at you. You know, they better be glad he doesn't. And so this is a lot of the differences throughout the Bible. And so in chapter 11 of Numbers, These people complained. They were complaining to God about either their circumstances or about Moses. And in verse 2, and the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. What if he didn't pray? Now, there's something unique about Moses and Samuel. In Jeremiah 15:1, the Lord said, I don't care if Moses and Samuel would have prayed for you, Judah, I'm not going to listen to them. So those two men had influence with God. Now, sometimes people say they had power in prayer. No, it's the power of God if you want to manifest himself. So they had influence with God. And I'm sure if the Jews would have caught Moses at the right time, and he said, you better ask Moses to pray for it. And Moses said, you do what I told you to. You know, because at one time the Lord was going to destroy all of them and told Moses, I'm going to make a nation out of you. And then he begged God that he wouldn't destroy. Then there's other times Moses was saying, would you take care of these people? I'm sick of them. And so if they would have got together in the same day, it would have been three million funerals on that same day. But again, this shows God, you know, people, God reveals himself as Almighty God in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, he's more quiet because, and there's a reason for that, is because God is seeking love and to be loved. And how do you can't force love. So when God is Almighty, he cannot force those people to love him. So he backs off. Okay, who would have smarted off to Elijah and Elisha? 42 kids smarted off and said, hey, Baldy, go on up. And a couple she-bears come out. And no, they couldn't have done that to Elisha. But then after Elijah and Elisha, God sort of backed off. And the prophets were limited to words. And then the prophets would complain, why are you manifesting yourself? Why aren't you doing something? And then the people killed the prophets. And that was showing God that they didn't care. And so it's like Soren Kierkegaard, and I've mentioned this story before, wrote about a parable of a king where a king saw a fair maid and a commoner. He fell in love with her. But as a king, he could have made her come to the palace. But how would he know if she loved him? He wouldn't know. He could have forced her to marry him, but he couldn't force her to love him. And so what he chose to do is he chose to take off his royal robes and secretly became a commoner and got in the area of the young gal that he loved and won her heart to himself, her not knowing that he was the king. So he became a commoner, won her heart, and then brought her to the palace. Now, does that sound a little bit like Scripture? Where Jesus becomes man to win our hearts, and he's going to bring us, and we're going to live happily ever after. Doesn't that sound like a good story? That's Scripture. A lot of these stories that people write are found in Scripture. And so when we were in Australia, after I preached that Sunday morning, three young men came and talked to me, and one was really struggling. He was really struggling with life and everything. And so I was trying everything I could with him for about an hour. I mean, one thing I'd do, this and that, one thing and this. And then I started pointing out those common sayings in the Bible and even the conspiracies. I started pointing those out, and his lies started lighting up. And that was an encouragement to him, and hopefully he can take that to go further, because he was pretty down. But it was the commonality of the Bible. When you point out those common sayings, it reveals the power of God, but yet the power of God is manifested in a very silent way. Okay, when people utter these words and you start getting them, in the center column, that's where I put over 1,000 common sayings that people say, and then when they say it, you can point it out and say, did you know that's in the Bible? Really? And it's a good opening statement to get people to see how common the Bible is. Like this morning, let these things sink in. Okay, and so in verse 2, Moses prays for him. And he called the name of the place Taberah, or Taberah. And I know I'm pronouncing it wrong, but we Americans, we don't know how to pronounce Oriental names. You got to have a hocker in your throat to get it right. If you go to Israel, that's how they, you know, and all that stuff. But there it is, and it says, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. Okay. That would have been quite a day. And so in Exodus 32, at that dance, Moses prayed, and he saved the lives. 3,000 people were killed that day, but he saved the lives of 2 to 3 million people. So that's interesting. Okay, verse 4, you got a paragraph mark, and you got something that could be a weird idea. Strange doctrine, strange idea. And there are strange doctrines in the Bible, strange things in life, because we tend to limit life to the natural world. We don't realize that we are in a parallel universe, and there's a supernatural, invisible world right next to us in the natural world. They're side by side, and we often forget that. And so I don't know what route you can go with verse 4, and it's something that you'd have to decide with the Lord, where he mentions a mixed multitude. So in the natural world, if you limit that to the natural world, that would be possibly a Samaritan, okay, a cross between a Jew and a Gentile, or a Jew and an Egyptian. Okay, in the natural world, that's how they could look at that. But what if that's in the supernatural world, where you have strange flesh in Jude verse 7? That's what Gomorrah was filled with. When those angels showed up, and then the Sodomites wanted to know them, were those Sodomites flesh and blood people, or were they sons of God, strange, weirdo flesh? Well, according to Jude, it was strange, weird flesh. Now, in the Bible, we know a little bit about these things. We don't want to make a ministry of it, you know, going around, let's talk about the aliens amongst us. Okay, but we do need to recognize the deception that's around us. Okay, I know at the White Throne, we're going to be shocked with some of celebrities of who or what they are. We're gonna be shocked. Okay, and in Hebrews 13, verse 9, it says that we are not to be occupied with strange doctrines. We are to be occupied with grace. Okay, but that doesn't mean we are not to know some of these things, because people have had weird experiences. And some of these people have crossed our paths, and it's like, man, what do you do with that? When somebody's had some of these terrible experiences. And this is, four or five years ago when we were in Australia, one of Heidi's customers that she cleaned his house, he was alternative healing technique. Of course, we wanted to try it out, check it out. And it's very similar to the radionics machine. And he's a believer in the Lord, and he got chatting about some things, and he started talking about some weird things that happened to him. So I started describing Bill Sneblin's life to him without naming Bill Sneblin. I mean, who wants to describe Bill Sneblin's life? And then that guy says, you're talking about Bill Sneblin. I said, really? How'd you know that? He said, well, yeah, my life is very similar. And he said, my second wife was a witch, and she's dead now. And he said, I am being monitored to this day, where I go, what I do, what I say. He comes from a pretty, elitist background, parents' background, and they monitor him. And now he's a Christian. They're really monitoring him. And and you talk to the man, he's just like, you just normal, good old guy. But if you would tell, and then I mentioned a lady in Australia who in 2015 came public about her life her former Nazi grandparents and what they did to her, and it's unconscionable what they did and what she saw and where she saw it. And he said, my life is very similar to hers. And that's a rare thing. Thank God I learned some of these things from people who experienced it, and I didn't experience it myself. Thank God I was sheltered on a good farm and home and everything. But people have had some strange experiences. So this mixed multitude, whatever route a person wants to go, I'm not sure what you want to go with it. But he says the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Okay, we remember the fish and did eat in Egypt freely. Oh, you did you? You must have forgot. You were slaves in Egypt. The first national slavery was held in Egypt. I wonder if they're paying reparations to the Jews these days. You know, we remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. And now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And that manna was miracle stuff. And then they would, as you read down through, they baked it, they cooked it, they fried it, depending if there was a southern tribe or a northern tribe, you know, whatever route they will. You know, they'd go to Bucky's and get some manna. And that's amazing stuff, where it would come down every morning and they only had to gather a select amount. And if they gathered too much, then it would get rotten. But yet on a Friday morning, they could gather enough on a Friday that would take them Friday, Saturday to Sunday morning. And that didn't rot. Now, how's that go? How's that work? And that's the Lord. And I tell you, the Lord is going to show us stuff in a millennial time period. It is going to blow our minds. People tend to think we're very advanced. We're the most advanced in the civilization. I don't think so. I know not before the flood. I know they were much more advanced and probably had more people on earth than we have now. But even after the flood, there's evidences around us everywhere. And just do we recognize these things? And so they were wanting to go back to Egypt. Now, isn't that what the church is doing today? Going right back to Egyptian Bibles, Egyptian music. You know, they say Israel was dumb. They wanted to go back to Egypt. What's the church doing today? Going right back to it. Okay, and then he says, in a manner was as coriander seed. Boy, ain't that helpful. And the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills and beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And taste of it was the taste of fresh oil. And they sprinkled superfood on top. So... yeah, fresh oil, so olive oil. So, you know, you get that little buttery flavor in there. And when the dew fell, when it fell upon the camp in the night, and the manna fell upon it. And so this was known as angel food. So you go to the store, you can buy angel food cake. And the Bible dictates our communication. I mean, it's a fascinating how God and how people don't pick up on this. And people quote Bible without knowing it. They will say Bible. I think I've heard it on the airplane. Boy, when we got on that airplane, when we transferred in San Francisco, the first thing we saw getting on that plane about shocked me to death. Some tall dude that was dressed like a woman, and it was like, man, that thing, whoa, brother. And I'm thinking, that's going to be serving us here? Oh, bro, I'm going to sleep. And you just get out in this and you see this stuff and you say, that is just insane. People are going insane. And so this mixed multitude, you can go either route on that. Okay, and then in verse 10, then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. Oh man, they're both getting mad now. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? This is when he was wishing he was back down in Saudi Arabia, down in that southern place where the Moses well is located, and it's still there today, and he could be raising his sheep. That's when he was wanting to go back. And it says, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father? And there's a weird idea. As a nursing father beareth a sucking child, and the land, unto the land which thou swearest unto thy fathers. Is the Bible incorrect there? Is it lying to us? Can some men have that happen to them? Some have. Some midwives would tell you that that has happened. You know? That's kind of weird. And so there he got that, nursing father. Now in Australia, they call when you're holding a baby, you're nursing the baby. You're just holding it. You're nursing the baby. And so one time when I was going through the court thing, the attorney said to me about nursing the baby. I said, not me. But in your culture, okay, yes, I'm holding the baby. And they got them different words there back and forth. And so they spell tire, you know, we spell T-I-R-E. They spell it biblically T-Y-R-E, as it's spelled in the scriptures. And so some of that is back that to English influence of England, where it's still today, if somebody will say, light me a fag, that means a cigarette. And that again comes from scripture. Boy, you try to say that today, you know, to somebody. Boy, you'll get reported on that one. Okay, then verse 13. Whence should I have flesh to give unto this people? So Moses is saying, come on, we're out here. I haven't gone hunting lately. I haven't seen any birds out here. No ducks, no geese, no nothing out here. And these people are wanting, you know, some chicken nuggets or something. And they're tired of this fruit and vegetables that we got going on, where they're tired of this manna. And he said, Lord, how am I going to get a bunch of nuggets for these people, for 3 million people? And again, this is one of the parallels between Jesus and Moses. And if you're trying to get some of these parallels in your mind, in case God has a Jewish person cross your path, and the best way to witness to them is compare, talk about Moses and how he fed multitudes of people, and then swing that over to Jesus. Moses turned water into blood, and then swing that over to Jesus. He turned water into wine. So Jesus is the prophet that Moses talked about. So here he's going to have a miraculous feeding of thousands of people, millions of people, and these birds are going to fly in from nowhere. Okay, for this says, for they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And that can happen. Okay, and you know, as far as the ministry goes, if a church has somebody who thinks it's their ministry to talk about your blind spots, okay, that can allow a person to get so discouraged, okay, that if they just keep dwelling on that, they forget about the gracious people in church that are so kind and gracious. They forget about that, and they let that one stone in their shoe drive them nuts. Okay, and the thing is, just take off your shoe, throw the stone, not throwing a person out, but see the big picture. Okay, I when growing up in, of course, Dutch Reformed in 1969, we got started a Bible church down there in DeMott, and we had a good man for 5 years. But unfortunately, I think he allowed a stone in the shoe, one griper, caused him to feel that his time was up in that church. And he left. Sadly, he floundered until the day he died. He should have just, I think he should have stuck it out and not allow that griper to take him away from a lot of people that appreciated him. And that's the problem. It's like if your car has a certain squeak and that squeak just annoys you. If it's getting you point A to point B, you know, get an oil can and find that squeak, or put a mouse trap in there and catch that squeak. And if it's getting you point A to point B, and so a lot of times we can allow something small get under our skin and not look at the big picture. And so this is annoying what Moses has gone through. And we all been there. Verse 15, and if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. Now, he's not the only guy in the Bible to ask God to kill him. Elijah did. Jonah, down in the mouth. You know, Jonah could have caused a shipwreck that destroyed many lives, and Paul saved a shipwreck, or saved the lives from a ship. Okay, but he's saying, kill me here. Now, he's wise enough to know that he couldn't do it himself. Okay, and again, you know, you're talking to people, and, you know, thoughts of suicide is getting pretty common. You know, and this was kind of the thought that the young man was talking to me about. And that is not a natural decision. It's about a 10-minute decision. And it's always the thoughts of unclean spirits. It doesn't matter if the person is saved or lost. That always comes from, it is not natural. The natural thing is to nourish and cherish our flesh. So this is a supernatural idea coming from unclean spirits to destroy this body. And then if a person could hear the spirit world, when a person acts that out, they will hear little spirits laughing, enjoying, and getting energy, going off to find their next victim. And so that's a terrible thing. And it's a very short-sighted thing. And so this is why Moses is just asking God to take care of it. Just kill me. And I'm sure a week later he said, boy, I'm glad you didn't do that. You know, and so there he is. He's tired of the griping. He's tired of the complaining. And so Jan and I are so appreciative of the consideration of folks that realize our need of going to Australia. And taking time to do that, because it is a desperate need that we need to do as a family. And we encourage anybody here in your family, I mean, let the whole world go to hell, but not your family. I mean, do everything you possibly have to do to love your family and help your family out. I mean, everything you need to do. One time, Ash took a flight to Australia because Heidi was going through a situation, and she was going to be there for 48 hours. 30 hours one way, 48 there, 30 hours back. She missed the flight. Ended up being 24 hours there. 30 hours flying there, 24 hours, 30 hours back. Because there was something that she was going to sacrifice for her sister. And that was a sacrifice. And that's what we should do as family. You know, as much as we possibly can. And it's a blessing to see some folks that family, churches cause their family to split up in the guise of spirituality, and now they're trying to reconcile. And that's a blessing. Okay, and so in this case, Moses is willing to sacrifice, and we need to recognize the consideration of others and encourage others and pray for others. Now in verse 16, to help Moses out, The Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel. So he's given him some leadership help, is what he's given. So, and then he says, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people. Well, 16 is a paragraph mark, cites, it's 501. So, sir, could you do a repeat? And make sure my wife puts it on video. Huh? You want a different song? Well, it depends how many you feel led to do.
If you're going to record it, I would get closer.
You got your piano against you.
That's what I was just thinking.